right, remain standing, please. We're going to keep Brother Buddy busy. Ask your blessings on the service today, Brother Buddy.
Our Father, we truly thank you for the blessings of this day. Thank you, Father, that we can have victory in Jesus.
Yes.
No matter what may come our way, what trial we may go through, and Lord, we know that you are our helper in every and all things. Thank you that you gave your Son to be our sin bearer. Lord, thank you. We took our sins to Calvary. Lord, may we never lose glimpse of the cross. Oh God, help us, we pray. Lord, we pray that blessings upon this service this morning. That you bless Brother Cottle and bring some message that you made upon his heart. We pray that you bless him and his dear precious family.
Yes.
And Lord, meet every need that may arise. And as they prepare to go to South Carolina next week, give them a private mercy. Lord, we thank you for them. And we just pray that you bless them abundantly in the world.
Thank you.
chance to get turned around there, we'll do our fellowship song.
529.
He told me and I could remember. Hug, just don't punch nobody. We'll need that again, ain't we? Forget our military. Our military don't get the respect that it used to get, but if it weren't for them paying the price for our freedom, we wouldn't have any. It was suggested to me a while ago, if you look in the front, I don't know how many of us can still remember, but some of us want to do, and we ought to do this more often, do the pledge to the American flag. Yes. And the flag, the Christian flag and the Bible. I shouldn't have told you to sit down so quick, but sorry. Let's do the American flag first, if you like. They say salute. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, for one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. And don't forget that, under God. All right, Christian flag. I pledge allegiance to the Christian flag and to the Savior for whose kingdom it stands, one Savior, crucified, buried, risen, and coming again, life and liberty to all who believe. All right, if you got your Bible, hold your Bible. I pledge allegiance to the Bible, God's holy word. I will make it a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I will hide its word in my heart that I might not sin against God. All right, you may be seated. Okay, Sister Teresa, if you're ready.
When he moves among us, all that he does, all of his mercy and all of his love, and the pen of the writer could write every day, even this world could never contain how I have been blessed. The warmth in the winter, the flowers in spring, the laughter in summer, and the changing of leaves, the food on my table, a good place to sleep, clothes on my back, and shoes on my feet. I have been blessed. I have been blessed. God's so good to me. Precious are his thoughts of you and me. No way I could count them. There's not enough time. So I'll just thank him for being so kind. God has been good, so good. I have been blessed. Arms that will raise, a voice that can talk, hands that can touch, and legs that can walk, ears that listen, eyes that can see. Oh, I've got to praise him as long as I breathe. I have been blessed. A father and mother who nurtured and raised, a brother and sister, memories made, our pastor to lead us, the altar to pray, stripes that can heal, and blood that can save. I have been blessed. I have been blessed. God's so good to me. Precious are his thoughts of you and me. No way I could count them. There's not enough time. So I'll just thank him for being so kind. God has been good, so good. I have been blessed. We live in a country, the greatest on earth. Our flag stands for freedom and what it is worth. She stands in the harbor, Miss Liberty calls. All have gave some, but some have gave all for me to be blessed. He's my shoulder to lean on, when I am down, the rock where he leads me when I'm overwhelmed, the place where he hides me under his wings. He's not just a song, he's the reason I sing. Oh, I have been blessed. I have been blessed. God's so good to me. Precious are his thoughts of you and me. No way I could count them. There's not enough time. So I'll just thank him for being so kind. God has been good, so good. I have been blessed. God has been good, so good. I have been blessed.
Y'all really agree with that? It wasn't too loud. Amen. Brother Taco Bell, come on up. I didn't say loco, but come on up. Come on, ask a blessing on the offering, please.
Heavenly Father, thank you for this day, Lord. Lord, we do thank you for your blessings. We are truly blessed to live in this nation, Lord.
Yes.
Lord, I thank you for this nation, Lord. Mother May Fox, Lord, she's still the greatest, Lord. Lord, I pray that this weekend, Lord, as we celebrate Memorial Day, Lord, to remember those that have given up their life, Lord, that we may have this freedom, Lord. Lord, we may today remember the ultimate sacrifice that you gave, Lord. Lord, we may be saved, Lord. I pray you bless the offer. I pray you bless the giver, and that they may have nothing. We love you. Thank you for all that you do in Christ's name. Amen.
Good job, Caleb. Yeah, a lot of monies.
Brother Cole, don't feel limited.
You and your family want to sing a song or something?
Y'all welcome to. Just as the Lord leads you.
Appreciate that song that Sister Teresa sung. We're going to sing a similar song along the same lines. God is still good. Amen.
As I look back on all of my days, so many times in so many ways, I have been blessed, and all I can say is God has been good. Sorrow and pain, sometimes the tears fall like the rain, but through it all, He's never changed. God is still good. Yes, God is still good when the waves roll high. God is still good all through the night, when I've done all I can and I don't understand. God is still good. Clouds of doubt may darken the way, but showers of blessing may come any day. He'll bring me through, and I'll stand and say, God is still good.
Amen.
There have been times when I've let Him down, made my mistakes, but still I have found I may stumble and fall. But through it all, God is still good. Mercy still flows from the palm of His hand. He'll give me grace and help me to stand. And although He knows how unworthy I am, God is still good. God is still good when the waves roll high. God is still good all through the night, when I've done all I can and I don't understand. God is still good. Clouds of doubt may darken the way, but showers of blessing may come any day. He'll bring me through, and I'll stand and say, God is still good. God is still good when the waves roll high. God is still good all through the night, when I've done all I can and I don't understand. God is still good. Clouds of doubt may darken the way, but showers of blessing may come any day. He'll bring me through, and I'll stand and say, God is still good.
Praise the Lord. Yes, He is. Amen. You have your Bibles, turn with me this morning to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I just want you to know we've really enjoyed being here with you, and we just love this church. We love you as a congregation, and I do not believe that God will forsake you. Amen. And you know in your heart that God will not forsake you. And you just keep looking to Him, keep trusting Him through these trying times. Amen? And God will bring us through. And we can stand and say, still stand and say, God is still good. Amen? 1 Corinthians chapter 15, I'd like to read starting in verse 51. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 51. The Bible says, "Behold, I show you a mystery." A lot of mysteries in the Bible, a lot of things we don't know, God hasn't revealed to us yet. Did you know you'll never be as smart as God? Even after a million years, we still will not have figured Him out. A trillion years will go by, and still, we won't figure Him out. He is an infinite God. He is infinite in wisdom and knowledge, understanding, power. He is almighty. He has infinite power. What a God we serve. Amen. But God does reveal a few things to us, and here is one of them. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. We shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. What a blessing to know that one day we shall be changed. That this isn't it. Amen? There's much more to all this than what we see and where we are now. One day we'll be with Him forever in a glorified body. What a day that'll be. Amen? I'm looking forward to that day. So many of the people in this world, they live for this life only. And this is all they see. But a child of God, we see into the future. We can see by faith and what we shall one day be, and we'll be with the Lord. And oh man, it's just what a hope we have in Him. It goes on and says, verse 54, so when this corruptible shall put on incorruption, and this mortal shall put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to preach to you just for a few moments this morning on the victory we have in Jesus. I don't think it was any accident that our first hymn today was Victory in Jesus. Amen. Let's pray. Dear Father, Lord, we thank You, God, for Your blessings to us. God, it's so good to be saved and to know it and to have the hope, the blessing of knowing that we have eternal life through You. And God, I just pray that You'll help us, Lord, this morning, God, as You speak to us through Your Word. God, use these lips of clay. Help me, dear Father. Lord, I'm just a piece of mud. I'm nothing, dear Father. God, help me, I pray, to be a blessing to Your people. And God, I just pray that You'll encourage our hearts. May we leave this place saying it's good to be in the house of God. I just pray, Lord, for be anyone here, Lord, today that's lost, that doesn't know You as their Savior. I pray, Lord, today would be the day they would call upon You and be gloriously saved. And God, we'll thank You and praise You for all that You do. In Jesus' name, amen. I am thankful for the victory I have in Jesus. I am thankful for the victory God gave me over sin and how one day God made me His child when I gave my heart to Him as a little boy. Boy, I've never regretted that. I don't think you ever meet a true believer, a true Christian, that ever regrets getting saved. Have you ever met anyone like that? Man, I wish I hadn't done that. You'll never find one. Never. Anyone that's truly saved is glad that they're saved. They're so very glad. And it was the best decision ever made in my whole life. And God here, He promises that one day we shall have the ultimate victory as a child of God. We will overcome death and we will pass from this life. No more sorrow, no more pain. All that the former things will be passed away. And what a hope we have in the Lord. And we know that's coming. But right here and now, and this is what Paul deals with here in that last verse, which we did not read yet. In this chapter, the last verse is verse 58. He deals with how that even though we know we have this hope of this victory, victory over the devil, the victory over the world, the victory over our flesh, amen, which I believe is my worst enemy. It's me, not the devil, not the world. It's me, this stinking rotten flesh, this body of death that I deal with every day that drags me down, right? We have the victory through Christ not only in the future but right here and now. And God wants us to walk in that victory. The same power that saved you, the same power that will one day carry you to glory and you will be changed, right? And you'll have eternal life with the Lord forever, that same power, that same victory is here and now for you every day. And God wants you to walk in that. You know, it's one thing, you know, to get saved and thank God if you know, you've came to Him and you've made Him your Lord and Savior, and now you know you're on your way to heaven, and you know that in the future you have this hope that one day you'll be with Him. But how about here and now? Are you walking in the victory? Amen? That is God's design for us as His people. Not for you just to get your ticket punched, but that you walk with Him daily in this victory. It'll make heaven sweeter if we do. Amen? Oh, it'll make it so much sweeter. Notice with me verse 58. The Apostle Paul says, therefore, because of these things, because of the hope we have in the Lord, because of the victory that we know that we have, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye, number one, steadfast, unmovable. Number two, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Number three, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. I'd like to look at those three things here this morning. The first one, number one, thanks be to God which giveth us the victory to be grounded. That's what he's talking about there in that first point. He says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable. God give us the victory in this life to be grounded, not tossed to and fro, not, you know, up and down, in and out, not sure of ourselves as His people, but to be grounded, steadfast, unmovable as His people. In Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 17, the Bible says this, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. There's nothing like Jesus' love. There's the love from your spouse, the love from your children, your family, and that's a strong love. Yes, but oh, there's nothing like Jesus' love. And as God's people, He wants us to stay in love with Jesus. Do you remember when you first got saved? How excited you were? I still remember. One of the most vivid memories of my childhood is when I got saved. And I loved God's Word. I'd take my Bible with me everywhere I'd go. It didn't matter, you know, school, church, to the marketplace, didn't matter. And I loved Jesus, and it was just so sweet. Amen? God wants us to stay in love with Him like we were when we first got saved. He wants us to be rooted and grounded in His love. And we can fall away from that, can't we? The Bible talks about that church of, I believe it was Ephesus there in Revelation chapter 2. He says, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. And our love can grow cold over time if we're not careful. Do you remember the story in Luke chapter 10 where Jesus is there at Martha's house and Mary was there, her sister, and she was making a meal and everything for Jesus and working so hard in the kitchen, making these casseroles and pies and everything for the Lord. Remember what Jesus said to Martha? He said, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. May I say to you today, we can do a lot of good things for God. We can be busy for the Lord. We can be doing all the things that we know that we should be doing. At the same time, not be real close to Him. Martha was doing a lot of good things here. She was. She was doing great. I mean, what's wrong with what she was doing? I mean, it was good. Those were good things. But it wasn't what Jesus said. He called it the good part. It wasn't the most important thing. Mary was spending time, quality time with Jesus. I think what Jesus was saying here to Martha was that I'd rather you be like Mary. I'm not too concerned about a fancy meal. I'd more rather spend time with you, Martha. Amen? And that, I believe that's what God is saying to us. He wants to spend quality time with you. If you're here in church today just to impress God, He's not too pleased with that. If you read your Bible because you want to impress God, God, look, I'm being spiritual, you know? Or, you know, God's not impressed with that. You know why? Because unlike us, we look on the outward appearance. God looketh on the heart. He knows if your heart is in it or not. He can see down the deepest part of your soul. He knows. So be real with Him. And Mary was in love with Jesus. Folks, I'm telling you, that will keep you more rooted and grounded than any other thing in the world if you'll just stay in love with Him. And if you'll spend quality time with the Lord. God is interested in your heart, not the outward show, not the put on of religion or going through the motions and formalities. No, no, no. And everything we do, it should be from the heart. We should never feel like, well, I'm going to church today because I feel like I have to, or you know, going to visitation because I feel like I have to. No, no, you're looking at it all wrong. We should do it because we want to, because we love the Lord. That's when it pleases Him. Otherwise, it's not pleasing God because He sees your heart and He's not pleased. Remember in Revelation where it talks about the Laodicean church and how He says, I wish you were cold or hot. In other words, God's saying, make up your mind. You know, stop this middle ground stuff, this lukewarm. God hates it, despises it, makes Him sick. Just be one or the other, you know? Show your true colors. That's what God's saying, amen? Another place in Corinthians, the Bible says, God loveth a cheerful giver. And that's not just in your monies. That's in every facet of your Christian life. He wants you to be true in your heart and honest before Him. God wants us to do what we do in the Christian life because we truly love Him. It's a true heart of obedience, not just sacrifice. To obey is better than sacrifice, the Bible says. Saul, in that chapter in Samuel, he had some good ideas. He wanted to use the animals he had taken from the Amalekites to make sacrifices unto God. Sounded good. Was it God's will? No. It was totally against God's will. And against the prophet Samuel and what he had told Saul to do. But it sounded good. Oh, to obey God from the heart and to do His perfect will is what's pleasing in His sight. And nothing else matters. We may have some good ideas, but is it God's will? Is it what He wants? Amen? That's all we should be interested in. I'm afraid a lot of our young people grow up in church, maybe go off to Bible college even. Not saying that this is bad. This can be a good thing. But I'm afraid sometimes they learn the mechanics of Christianity without the heart behind it. Do you know what I'm saying? They know what to do. They know what to say. They know how to sing. They know how to pray. They know all the terminology and the words. But where's the heart? God wants our heart. And when He has your heart, it's then you'll be rooted and grounded, steadfast and unmovable. When you're truly in love with Him and you love Him with all your heart, that's all God's interested in. And He's worthy of it. Amen? He gave His very best for you. First of all, He gave your life. I never decided to be born, did you? Gave you life, then gave you His Son, the very best He had. Shed His precious blood on Calvary. That was God dying that day, amen? That was God's blood that was shed that day. That wasn't just any person's blood. God's blood that was shed, His sinless, perfect blood for the sins of the whole world. He's deserving of our all. He's deserving to be first in our life. That's the first thing here that Apostle Paul deals with. Hey, you want to live in that victory? Stay in love with Jesus. Give Him your heart. Serve Him from the heart. And everything you do in your life, do it from the heart. Don't do it for show. Don't do it to please man, please parents, please this person, please the pastor, whatever. Do it for him. Amen? And God will be pleased. We've got enough hypocrites in the church. We don't need any more. Amen? May God help us to be real. That's what the world needs. They need to see real Christians. And if we're in love with Jesus as we ought to be, serving him from the heart, our whole heart, they'll see something that's real and they'll want it. Amen? They'll want it. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable. Thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory to be grounded. Number two, he deals with always abounding in the work of the Lord. Thanks be unto God, which giveth us the victory to grow. I don't care if you're 99, 109, 129, God's not done with you yet. You're always growing. There'll never be a time in my life where I can say spiritually, I've arrived. Oh yeah. No, never. Never. God will continually be working on you to the day you die to make you like himself. To make you like Christ. We're to continually be growing. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18. It says, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We're to grow and allow God to work in our hearts, our life. The apostles said to our Lord, Lord, increase our faith. Increase our faith. In other words, God, help us. Help us to grow and to be more like you. This should be our desire. We should never feel like, well, I'm there spiritually. I think I'm there. No, you're not there. Amen. God is continually working on you. He's got plans for you. He wants you to continue to grow spiritually and be stronger than you are today, so that you can help others, so that you can be more of a blessing to those around you in your kingdom of influence. And we all have a kingdom of influence. I don't care who you are. You have so many lives that you touch. Even this morning as you're leaving your home, maybe a neighbor peeked out the window. They saw you with your Bible under your arm. They knew you were going to church. You had an influence in their life. Oh, it's huge. And it's so important, amen, that we allow God to strengthen us and help us to grow spiritually, and that it continues, and that we do not get stagnant in our Christian life and get settled or get in a rut, but allow him to stretch us and mold us to what he wants us to be. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 8 says these words. 2 Corinthians 9 verse 8. The Bible says, as is written, and God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that ye always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. I can't be a good Christian in myself. I need the grace of God, and so do you. We need his strength. We need his help. And may we be looking to the Lord to help us to grow and be stronger spiritually. Look with me in 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. It's just a passage of scripture I've been meditating on over the past week. 1 John chapter 5 and verse number 4. Remember, Apostle Paul said there, always abounding in the work of the Lord. God's got plans for you in his workings down here in this earth, in his will. You are an integral part of his plan. It says in verse 4 of 1 John 5, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Faith is so key. As we yield to God in our lives, either faith or unbelief will triumph. It depends how we yield. if we believe that we have the victory, then we have it. But if we don't believe, unbelief is the victor and takes over in our life. And with it comes doubts, fears, and all the rest. If we will simply believe, just like when you got saved, when you believed on the Lord and He became your Savior, right? We're to walk in that every day. The Bible says, the just shall walk by faith, shall live by faith, shall live by His faith, I believe it says in Habakkuk. God wants us every moment throughout the day to be believing in Him continually. Trust, I'm not talking about getting saved again. I'm talking about walking with God, trusting Him by faith, living by faith. That's why the apostles said, Lord, increase our faith. They realized how important it was, this walk of faith. And there they were. They could see Him. And yet they said, Lord, increase our faith. Isn't that interesting? So this daily walk of believing and walking by faith with God is so vitally important. It's how to grow and it's how to abound in the work of the Lord and this victory that God has given us. And it's wonderful. It's a wonderful truth. In Hebrews chapter 11, we have the wonderful verse there given in the chapter which some call the Hall of Faith, where you have all these patriarchs and wonderful people of God mentioned here in their testimonies. In verse number 6, but without faith it is impossible to please Him, for he that cometh to God must believe that He is. Believe that you have the victory, and you have the victory. It's just that simple. And that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Believe and seek after God. By illustration, let me just look at a passage here with you in 1 Samuel. I was just meditating on this a little bit last night and sharing this with my daughter. We always have a family devotion time before we go to bed, and this is something I was looking at. I was thinking about David and in 1 Samuel chapter 17. Remember, this is the story about Goliath and his victory over Goliath, and it's such a wonderful picture of the child of God and how we meet a lot of Goliaths in our life, and we meet a lot of things that we face. They're big, they're strong, and we know in ourselves, what am I going to do? Why I can't see anything past, I don't know how I'm going to have the victory over this. But through God, we can have the victory, and David wrought a great victory here. But I want you just to notice some things about David. Prior to this chapter, chapter 17, David had been in Saul's court. He had been in the king's court. He was the armor bearer for the king. Now there's a battle takes place, and he goes back home. He's maybe not old enough to go out to battle and so forth. He had been playing the harp for Saul and been there in the king's court. But now he goes back in verse 15. Notice 1 Samuel 17, verse 15. But David went and returned from Saul, okay, or from the king's court, to feed his father's sheep at Bethlehem. Many times, a believer, we have to wait on God and trust Him for where we are in our life, not get ahead of Him. David, at this point, he had already been anointed as king. That was done back in chapter 16, in verse 13. All right? So he knew he was the next king of Israel. And yet, you know, he had been in the king's court and all that, right? But now, he was still willing to go back and feed his father's sheep and to remain patient and wait on God. What a lesson in faith. What if David had not been willing to do that? What if he had took off and was sneaking around just to watch the battle, or his dad didn't know where he was, and things could have turned out a lot differently. But David waited on God. He had faith in God. And just simply believed Him for the future and left it in His hands. And look how, since he was in the right place at the right time, God was able to open doors for him and to lead his life. His father says, hey, I want you to go to the battle scene and take some food for your brothers. That was the open door. All right? And because he was in the right place at the right time, and he was having faith in God, as he went there and he found out what was going on, all right, met his brothers, heard Goliath and all this, he had the confidence in God to wrought a great victory that day. See, if we're not walking by faith as we should with God and allowing him to grow us and strengthen us in himself, we'll not have that confidence that we should. We've got to wait for those open doors that God will open in our life. Let him open them. Let's not kick the door down. Let's let God open it in his time. And then we'll go through it. And we'll have the confidence in God because we were waiting on him. We're having faith in him, right? It wasn't something we did. How are you going to have confidence when you're tried? If David hadn't had confidence in God, if he had not been following God, had not been, you know, open to God's will and being patient, having faith in the Lord, I don't believe he would have been confident to overcome Goliath. He'd have been there, but it'd been much different. Because he'd been sneaking around and not been where his father wanted him to be, feeding the sheep. He was being obedient to his father. Oh, it's so important that we stay in God's will, that we stay in God's timing for everything in our life. And then because David was in the right place at the right time, he was following God, he was having his faith in the Lord, he was confident. Now he's met with Goliath and he's got the strength of God's grace to overcome him. We all are going to face things in our life that are tough, that are huge. We need God's grace. And here, David had God's grace. He knew at this point in his life, he knew God was on his side. He knew it. And somehow God gave him the confidence that he knew he was going to have the victory that day, even though this guy was 9 feet and 9 inches tall. Can you imagine? Huge. He was a big fella, let me tell you. Amen? But notice what David says. Verse 45. Thou comest to me with a sword and a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will, not I might, not I'm going to try. No, he says, I will smite thee and take thy head from thee and give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day into the fowls of the air, to the wild beasts of the earth, and that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel, and all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. Man, it's just there's so much in this. Another thing that hit me when I'm reading this is where David says, saveth not with sword and spear. Sometimes in our life, we got to think that we got to have it all worked out in order for it to happen. You know? God doesn't need your stuff. He doesn't need you to work it out. All right? He wants to work it out. Let him do it. Let him get the glory. All David had was 5 smooth stones and his sling. Not much going up against a big Goliath. Not much at all. But with God, it was great. Remember, David turned down the armor, turned down all that array of, you know, bows and arrows and you know, all different kinds of equipment and so forth. He turned all that down and just went with just what he was used to and just himself and God. And I tell you, folks, that's what God's pleased with when we just will let him use us the way we are, not trying to be something we're not. Amen? David knew if he went out there with all that junk on, he was just, well, this is not me. I'm not used to that. I don't fight like this. Amen? Let God use you the way you are. Don't try to be somebody else. Don't try to work everything out for God. Let him work it out in his time, in his purpose for your life. And let him get the glory, because that's what God wants. He's deserving of the glory. David here, he gave God all the glory. And we know that God did it. I mean, what are the chances? I mean, man, this is amazing. It was a miracle. It was a miracle. Nothing short of a miracle happened here. And David knew that. And that's what God wants in our life. He wants us to look back on the miracles and the victories that he gives us in saying, hey, God did that. God did that through me, in my life. Instead of us saying, I did that, or I worked this out. There's no confidence in that. There's no hope in that. Oh, no, we need to see God's hand in our life. We need to know that he's leading us, that he's guiding us, and his protection is there, and all the sweetness of the relationship with him as we stay in love with him, and all these things. Oh, it's just wonderful. Amen? There's nothing like it when you walk with God. That's what David was doing here. Oh, what confidence he had in faith in God. That's where God wants us to be. That's where he wants us to stay as we grow. Amen? But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory to grow in his grace and faith in our Lord, to walk by faith, to know what it means to walk by faith, to simply believe that we have the victory, and we have it because we simply believe him. Amen? And then to diligently seek after the Lord. And then lastly, Apostle Paul mentions here concerning the victory, not only that we have to be grounded and to grow, but lastly, he says back in 1 Corinthians 15:58, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Remember in Revelation where it mentions about the white throne judgment, the book of life, and then it talks about the other books that were opened. What are the other books? I believe they're the recordings of God. God records every detail. Everything. Nothing goes unnoticed. Every time you pray for someone, the Bible talks about a cup of water. I mean, he takes notice of everything. Your labor is not in vain in the Lord. I believe the last thing here that Paul is dealing with is thanks be to God, which gives us the victory to glory. Amen. And to God be all the glory. Oh, what a blessing will be on that day when we stand before the Lord, and surely we shall. Just as the lost will stand before God, so shall the saved. The judgment seat of Christ. Some call it the Bema seat. But one day we shall stand before the Lord. And we'll not stand before him as far as whether we're saved or not, but it'll be concerning our life and how we live for him. What we allowed him to do through us, or didn't allow. Amen? God forces no one to be saved, does he? It's not the way God works, okay? It's not like the Muslims, or they have a religion of coercion. It's, you know, it's forced upon their family members. It's forced upon you as a community, some as a nation, okay? You will be this, you know. God, the Lord God of heaven, the true God, is not that way. He doesn't force himself on anyone. That's a false God, okay? Likewise, just as God did not force us to be saved, he doesn't force us to live for him, to walk with him, to be filled with the Spirit. He indwells us with the Spirit, and when we're saved, yes, but he doesn't force us to be filled with the Spirit. He doesn't force us to walk with him daily and to grow in this grace and faith, and to live by faith in every moment, and to trust him each day and every moment of each day. He doesn't do that, does he? He's not that way. But we know what's right. We know what's good. We know what the Bible teaches us. As we grow from an infant of being saved, we learn these things, and we know that we do need to get closer to him, and we do need to be stretched and grow, and right? And so ultimately, this comes to the judgment and how we lived our life, how we allowed God to do things through us and to initiate and work out his plan for our life. We're not here by accident. None of us. None of us are an accident. We're miracles, and we're precious souls that God made. And then if he saved you, you're his child, and we fit into God's plan, his great plan. God's desire to give his love and to share the salvation with all men, and to encourage the brethren, and to see God's people encouraged and strengthened. This is God's desire. And so that one day we will stand before him in judgment, and he'll be able to be proud of us. He'll look upon us with a smile. And so that he can say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." If any two words I live for, it's those two words. Well done! Amen. Don't you want to hear those two words? More than any other words in the world, I want to hear those. And see a smile on his face and not a frown, not a face of disappointment, but a joy that, yes, you made it, and you pleased me, you allowed me to work through you and to accomplish great things, like overcoming Goliaths in our life that we all face. Amen? With the victory that he promised us. Not just victory in salvation over sin and hell, but and not just victory to go to heaven one day and live with him forever. Yes, yes, but victory here and now, to walk in this victory, to accomplish his perfect will. Amen. I tell you, folks, there is no crown that fits this head. No crown in that day will fit this head. They all go at Jesus' feet. He gets all the glory. Amen. I do pray that there'll be, when God turns up the heat on my life, that there'll be some precious stones, some silver, some gold, some things that will last, that will give him honor and glory for all eternity. What I allowed him to do in my life. I'm just a channel. I'm his servant. Amen. He gets all the glory. But just, I mean, you can't give anything back to God, can you? I mean, he's everything. Amen. I'm nothing. But just the fact that we can allow him to use us, that will bless him in a way. That will, you know, it means something to him. Don't you want him to be proud of you? That you allowed him to work in your hearts, and you weren't stubborn in your own life, in your own way. You didn't get too caught up in the world and living for this world, you know. You didn't forget about him. You kept focused on him and walking by faith, and you allowed him to do great things through your life because you were submitted to him, to his will. And you had his strength and grace and power to overcome this world and live in the victory and live a consistent life that people around you saw. And they're like, man, they're impressed because they saw Jesus in you. And they knew it was the Lord because you were different. You stood out from the rest. You weren't the same as everybody else. You were different because you allowed Jesus to live through you. Oh, that's God's desire. Amen. For every one of us. He's deserving of it, and the victory is ours if we want it. He gave it to you the moment you were saved. You can live in it to the day you die and go home to glory and be pleased with you. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17. Well, let's go back to verse 16. I'll just end with this passage of Scripture today. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment. That's what it'll be like compared to eternity. Our light affliction here, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. Walking by faith. Amen. Living by faith. For the things which are seen are temporal. In other words, they'll pass away. They're only temporary. But the things which are not seen are eternal. And those are the things that matter. That's how we're to live. Live in the victory. Thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Dear Father, Lord, thank you, Lord, for this day. We love you, praise you for your wonderful salvation, the victory, God, you've given us to overcome the world by faith that you have given us. Lord, just pray we might walk in that victory and glorify you with our lives. And God will thank you and praise you for all that you do. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Brother Buddy's going to come with a song. God spoke to your heart. You want to come to the altar today and pray. You do that, all right? Just mind the Lord. God bless you, church.
Appreciate that message, Brother Connell. Appreciate y'all being with us today. And we know a little bit more about Alaska. I enjoyed that presentation during Sunday school. Y'all keep praying for Brother Connell. They're going to be hitting the road this coming week, traveling, doing, visiting some of the churches they have supporting them. So pray for them. And Wednesday night, 7 o'clock. We got one more week, I think, before the business meeting. Hope y'all have a good holiday weekend. Tomorrow, I believe all of you is probably off. Well, I say most, some probably not. But hope y'all have a good weekend. Yeah, Loco's going to be doing tacos. Y'all have a good afternoon. God bless you.